UNICEF representatives saw firsthand the destruction that ravaged the lives and livelihoods of the people from Davao Oriental when they traveled there last March. They met some of the 72,000 families who lost their homes and were provided temporary shelter. Non-governmental organizations or NGOs have been carefully monitoring the condition of young children attending their weekly clinics as the threat of malnutrition looms large. An estimated 67,000 children under 5 are at risk. During their visits, the children are weighed and measured, and those found to be malnourished are given special ready-to-use therapeutic food. Elenita's 3-year-old child, Jill, is one of them.
I gave her the Easy Pace 3 times a day. There were times that she did not want to eat, but I would force her to eat to help her body. I brought her every Thursday for weight monitoring and to get a supply of the Easy Paste. And later, she was given Plompidose, and I gave it to her 3 times a day. Then I realized that she was and still is gaining weight.
Due to the shortage of basic necessities such as food and clean water, malnutrition rates usually increase after a disaster, says UNICEF's nutrition officer, Dr. Paul Zambrano.
After an emergency, primarily you see a shortage of basic supplies of food. You see an upsurge or an increase in the incidence or prevalence of infectious disease, most commonly respiratory infections and acute watery diarrhea. And if you combine these two immediate causes, the infectious disease and poor food intake, then these are the two immediate causes in the UNICEF causal framework that will push a child into malnutrition.
For school-aged children, the destruction of school buildings has meant a delay in their education. But UNICEF and the country's Department of Education stepped in and provided temporary learning spaces and school packs for every child. As a result, the principal of a local school has succeeded in getting more than 90% of the students back into school. Nonetheless, the children, like 13-year-old Jessame Dunga, still bear the scars of the terrifying day the storm struck.
Family and I are very scared because our house is shaking. Then our house collapsed. We are all inside it. My father was left. I go back to the house to get my father because he cannot move. He is sickly. Then we run going to the house of my godmother. When we reach the house of my godmother, my mother heart attacked 3 times. We give her water and I told him to be calm and don't panic because we have a God to save us.
The storm hit the southeastern region of the Philippines, which is an area that is not accustomed to typhoons. Many Filipinos here were not ready for a storm of such magnitude and are still visibly traumatized by what has happened. Daycare worker Jocelyn Butulan helps 3 to 5-year-olds recover from the shock of the disaster. And through her work with these children, she herself is coming to terms with her own grief.
I thought everyone was dead when I went out. It was all destroyed. I couldn't explain what I felt. I said, where are all my friends? Maybe they're all dead.
For her part, Daphne Osena Pius, UNICEF Special Advocate for Children, looks forward to happier days for the children.
I just hope that they get their lives back. In my next visit, I hope I can see children happier, running around, playing freely, and not scared of nature.
Despite lack of funds, UNICEF will continue to respond to the ongoing needs of these people, says its representative, Tomoo Hozumi.
As far as UNICEF is concerned, you know, as long as there's a substantial needs to be fulfilled, be it survival, development, you know, protection, we remain to be engaged in this situation.
Meanwhile, the long and arduous path to recovery continues in this typhoon-ravaged part of the Philippines. Beng Poblete Enriquez, United Nations.